Welcome back to The Mountain Life. I'm Pete Stoughton. And while Lynn Ware Peak is enjoying some mountain trails, we have the pleasure of interviewing our next guest. Ben Light is a prolific Wasatch Back Mountain adventurer who has a mighty resume. His most recent adventures took him on foot from Bear Lake to his hometown, Heber. Welcome, Ben.
Thanks so much.
Great to have you on air, Ben. Sounds like you're actually on the trails. Are you up on some mountain peak right now?
I am actually almost to work. we do have to earn a living in order to go out and adventure.
Well, you do a lot of adventuring, and we'll ask, I guess, what you do on a daily basis just to occupy your daytime. What is it that you do?
So what I do is I'm an independent contractor. I do brand marketing, and so I usually work with a lot of different outdoor brands, especially those that want to strategize in the ultra running and the running community. So I use my network and my knowledge of the community to help them strategize and be more profitable within their running community.
And you know quite a bit about running. You've adventured quite a bit. Tell us a little bit about this Utah Brawl concept. It's prior to you. There's nothing out there.
Yeah. So this is just a brand new concept. Me and my buddy Mike McKnight, another ultra runner, we were talking one day, and I was telling him about I've been doing a lot of research on the Great Western Trail. A project that I want to put together here in the near future of running parts of the Great Western Trail. And as I was doing research on the Great Western Trail, I realized that the majority of the Bear 100 up in the Bear River Range and almost the entire Wasatch 100 is on, it was on the Great Western Trail. And the Great Western Trail is kind of like our Utah Pacific Crest Trail or AT Trail. It's just not talked about that much. And it spans all the way from Canada all the way down to Mexico, just like the Pacific Crest Trail. And so when I was doing that research, we were on a run and I was talking to him about it. And I was like, we should run this Great Western Trail. And he's like, well, I've been really wanting to run the Bear 100 and link it up to the Wasatch 100. And if they are both doing that already, then like, why don't we do that? And so what we did is we sat there and formulated an idea, basically running the Bear 100 backwards and then connecting it to the Wasatch 100 with the Great Western Trail. And that's how we kind of got the Brawl. The Brawl is just the link up. It's an acronym for Bear River and Wasatch link up. And when we put it all together, it came out to exactly 300 miles. So we called it the Utah Brawl 300.
I love the name. But let's help give some context for those who are unfamiliar with Bear 100 and the Wasatch 100.
Oh, yeah.
You started at Bear Lake. I'm hoping you at least got a raspberry milkshake. Yeah. And you ended following mostly the mountains here in Heber. Is that correct?
Correct. So the Bear 100 actually traditionally is ran from Logan, Utah to Bear Lake. And, you know, that would put us in the opposite direction. So we just took the route and, you know, started at where you finish and ran it backwards in reverse and then made our way through Cache Valley over to basically Avon and over to Manaway, where when we ventured up to Willard Peak and Ben Lomond, we jumped back on the Great Western Trail over there as well and then made our way through the Wasatch down to the Wasatch 100, which starts in Kaysville and makes its way through the mountains, through Lambs Canyon, through the backside of Park City up on the crest. A lot of people are probably familiar with the Crest Trail or Red Lovers area. And then it basically wraps around and drops down into Brighton and up and over into American Fork Canyon, then up and over around Mill Peak down to Soldier Hollow.
Most people listening, this would sound like the Utah Crawl, not the Brawl. It's 300 miles along some rugged terrain. Did you have to crawl? Did you have to sleep? This is sounds like it would take most people 10, 20 days, maybe on a motorcycle, but it took you 3 days?
Yeah, it took us just under 5 days, about 4.5 days. We did a little bit of sleeping. We ran through the first night. We did the first 100 without any sleep. And then once we got into the second night, basically Avon Pass, we took a 2-hour nap there, and then we ended up taking another 2-hour nap later on towards the Lamb's Canyon area. I think we had a total of about 4 hours on average between the two of us, with the two of us that finished it, me and Mike.
And with three people completing this, is there a chance that someone dropped, or fell behind? I mean, did you guys actually stay together the whole time?
Yeah, we stayed together. We had a third person, our good buddy Dak. He started it out with us. He ran into a knee issue on top of Logan Peak as we were coming down into Logan, and he knew the extent of his knee predicament, where it would slow us down too much. So he decided to pull himself from the run, and then he just supported us as part of the crew the rest of the way.
That's challenging, especially when it's a cohort, three people who've been focusing, planning, and one then has to pull and just do the support. Did he try to sabotage any of you guys? Put anything?
No. You have to step out of the picture into the bigger picture and see that, the end goal and supporting each other. And it was a humbling decision for him to make, but it's also a decision that we all were grateful for and learned from together. I've had to make that decision in other adventures that I've done, where I've had to say, for the benefit of others and then the safety of others, when you start to slow everybody down, you compound a lot of different factors with hydration, with food, with the wear and tear on the body, and then just the rest of the crew has to, it drags it out a little longer. So with the big picture in mind, he made the humbling decision and then, supported us along the way, because that's what friends do.
Right. And we'll get back to big picture here in a bit, but you mentioned safety. Some people would say this is very unsafe. You shouldn't undertake 300 miles in 5 days or even less, and you're risking a lot of exposure, sun, storms, wildlife. Safety, was that a concern for you? Was there a moment during that whole time that you were questioning your own decisions there?
Oh, not questioning, but I think it comes with experience. You can basically, as you get more experience, you start to understand the risk. Everything has risk. Going to work has risks. Going outside on a bike ride has risks. But you start to weigh the risk and you prepare. You wear a helmet, or you don't ride on the wrong side of the road, and you don't, just different things. When you're out there in nature and when we're doing this, we planned accordingly. We made sure we had the proper gear, the proper nutrition, the proper hydration. We knew where our water sources were so that we could refill. We took in account of the weather. And then I had an inReach from Garmin that I could communicate and send a distress signal if at any time we ran into a serious issue. And our support crew also, we had timetables. They were leapfrogging us every 10 to 20 miles. So we put, important safety measures in place.
And obviously the Wasatch Back was perhaps your favorite, most scenic area because it's so close to home. What were some of the highlights on this 300-mile brawl, Utah brawl?
I'd hate to flip it on you, but I really enjoyed the Bear River area. So I've been involved with the Bear Race many times, and a lot of times when you're running it, you're always running the latter half in the nighttime, and you don't get to see it as much. And it's kind of like the Tony Grove area, the Bunch Grass. A lot of people, if they know where Magog and the different White Pine area, it's usually at night when you're running through there. So to actually see it during the day this time was extremely beautiful. And then also, I'm very familiar with the trails up at Brighton, but and they have some of the best trail systems. Once you hit Lamb's Canyon and you get up into the Mill Peak and the Big Cottonwoods, you can't beat those trail systems. And to actually hit those trails during the day as well, that was the first time our friend Mike ran those areas, and he was blown away by how smooth the trails were, how well kept it was, how beautiful the lakes were. You know, we went up past Lake Mary, Lake Catherine's Pass, and up over Sunset Peak, and then you drop down into AF Canyon, and it's just breathtaking, especially with the wildflowers these days. Even Ben Lomond. So this was the first time up Ben Lomond over in the Ogden area, and it's stunning right now. The trail system from the North Ogden Divide up to Ben Lomond, the wildflowers are just in full prime right now. So I would say get up there in the next week before they start to wither.
Yeah, I saw some of your pictures and video, and it felt like you guys were definitely focusing on the flowers quite a bit in many of your pictures. So it is beautiful up there.
I kept taking the GoPro right back out. I was like, around this corner. I was just like, holy cow, they're everywhere.
For those who are just joining us, we're speaking with Ben Light, a Heber resident who just completed the Utah Brawl, aka Utah Crawl, 300 miles from Bear Lake all the way back home, following the two prominent 100-mile races here in Utah, the Bear 100 and the Wasatch 100. Ben, you mentioned bigger picture, and there was kind of a real reason for you to do this. Tell our audience a little bit about why. I mean, yeah, you wanted to connect those routes and do the Great Western, but what was the real impetus for this run?
So a little bit of a backstory, and it'll come full circle, is the last 2 years I've done projects just like the Utah Brawl. I've done what I call the Wasatch Tahoe Project, and then I also did the Pyrenees Project that took place in France, Spain. And each one of those, I tied my projects and people following it to a nonprofit organization called NeuroWorks to raise money for them. Now, I learned about NeuroWorks when I ran on a Costa Vida Ragnar relay team. And one of the gentlemen that I ran with in support of this NeuroWorks organization that helps individuals rehabilitate after a spinal cord or neurological injury. It's just like physical therapy for somebody with that's a paraplegic now or a quadriplegic or somebody that had a head injury. They specialize in that. And Ragnar Relay adopts NeuroWorks as one of their main organizations that they raise money for. And so I was on this Ragnar Relay team with Costa Vida raising money and awareness for NeuroWorks with another individual that works at Costa Vida. And this is 2 years ago in 2018. And then in 2019, this individual that's also a triathlete was hit by a car, just a freak accident. The driver was blinded by the sun and hit him on his bike. And now he himself is a paraplegic, but he is still determined to be a triathlete as a paraplegic. And it's just coming up on his full year since the accident. And ever since he got out of the hospital, he is still moving forward with his dream of being an Ironman athlete, a triathlete. And this year for our project, instead of just raising money for this organization, which he now is a patient of, can you imagine running in support of an organization and then all of a sudden now you are a patient and seeing the other side of things?
Yeah.
And it's very humbling to hear his story. And it's inspiring to see his determination. And so I reached out to him and I said, hey, what are you in need of? And he's like, well, I have a hand cycle bike, but in order to actually participate as a para athlete or para triathlete, I need a racing wheelchair. It's a specialized wheelchair that they use in marathons and in the marathon section of an Ironman. And they're very expensive. And so I said, well, let's see what we can do. We're doing this run. I usually raise money for NeuroWorks, but I want to raise money for you this year. And so his name's Austin Patton. And so we did kind of like the Utah Brawl 300 in support of Austin Patton. And we have a goal of $18,000. Those bikes are extremely expensive. They're customized. They have to, you know, fit them to the actual individual, to their arm length, to their torso length, to their leg length. Once the bike's done, it's for that particular athlete and that athlete only. And so each one has to be custom made. And so they're extremely expensive. And there's an extremely awesome para-athlete coach that is here in the Salt Lake area. He's actually part of the Paralympic team for the U.S. And he's one of their coaches. And I reached out to him, and we're working with him to help Austin with coaching in order to, you know, move forward with his dream of becoming an Ironman athlete as a para athlete. So we have a Facebook fundraiser that we're still going on. It ends this Friday, but I think I might extend it for just one more week. We're so close. We're almost to $11,000. We're trying to raise 18. We're 7,000 away. So if anyone that might be listening that is inspired by this young man's story, that's inspired by our story of running 300 miles in support of another endurance athlete trying to reach his goals, if you get on Facebook, you can just look up Utah Brawl 300 in support of Austin, and you'll find it. If you don't do Facebook or social media, you can go to it's called InterMountainTri.com. It's actually a triathlete nonprofit organization that's founded by actually Intermountain Healthcare and BAM Endurance. You can scroll all the way down to the website and click on the donate button. And when you donate, it'll ask you, you know, if you have any comments or notes, and just put in there Austin, for Austin Patton, and they'll make sure that they route the funds to his cause.
Wow, what an amazing story! It's pretty wild how that came full circle for Austin. Organizing and then now the recipient of those funds and support. How is he doing right now? What is he currently riding? Is he training? What was his reception of your guys' support?
Oh, he's so humbled, and he's always been a humble guy ever since. Even before his accident, he's been very humble and very gracious, and he's so humbled about it. It's hard to, I can only imagine being in his shoes and trying, like having someone else do something for you. I mean, he's having a lot of things happen for him since the accident, but he's learning to be more independent. He was able to come out. So when we were in Logan and we kind of made our way down to Hiram, we took some farm roads, the back roads to Avon, about a 10-mile stretch. And he came out with his hand cycle and we rode side by side through the farmlands. He also came out to the very finish at Soldier Hollow. We finish at the Deer Creek Trail, and then you run the road up to Soldier Hollow, and he then again came out with his bike and his hand pedal bike and rode next to us. And it was just a really inspiring and heartfelt finish to have him there. We endured a lot. But no matter what we endured, I think what he is faced with right now in his life, and then also his determination to move forward, is he's going to show a lot more determination than we had to show, I feel. And if something like an accident like that happened to me, I'd like to think that I would like to have that determination to, to keep moving forward, to keep getting up every morning, and to keep setting goals and regardless of my limitations.
Right. It's such an amazing way to really make sure that you finish the task and the fundraising and the brawl, the actual run, when you know that Austin is having to persevere through a lot of his own struggles and, ours pale in comparison.
Yeah.
So those who are hearing, again, you can go on to search Utah Brawl 300, and there's several different websites, but that'll pull up the Cogalla site, but also a couple other sites, and you can support Austin Patton. Thank you, Ben. What is next for you? Where are you going? You have just a few minutes here, but what's the next adventure for you?
If you know, the races are all being canceled with COVID and everything like that, my next race is Tahoe 200. I hope it happens, but with everything going on, I'm kind of I'm not getting my hopes up, but I'm preparing myself. But next year, last year when I went to the Pyrenees, I was trying to set a record going across the Pyrenees through one of the routes. Pyrenees is a 500-mile route, and I plan on going back next year. That's what I'm going to be focusing on is heading back to the Pyrenees to try to set a new world record across the Pyrenees.
And you're accepting applications for Sherpas to join you. Anybody in the Wasatch who wants to hang with Ben Light in the Pyrenees, carry his bags.
I would not blame him because, man, it was an amazing trip last year. My effort didn't work out. It's some things, complications I ran into, but, you know, it's hard not to run into complications over 500 miles. But, you know, I wouldn't blame anybody for wanting to come over there. It's amazing.
Well, we live in a special place. You love visiting special places, but you're a special man, Ben. You're an inspiration to me and to our community. Thank you for helping support Austin and inspiring those around us to get out into the Wasatch back.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Pete.
Well, Ben, I look forward to seeing you on the trails. Let's do a temp run together and,